In college basketball, you never know what will happen, but one thing is for certain, that the more hoops you get, the better chance you have of winning. And Greg Peterson, the man whose nickname is Hoops, knows all about it. From the blue bloods to the afterthoughts, Greg breaks down every game, every team, every day. So now it is time for Hooping with Hoops.
A warm hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas. We're Hooping with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peterson. Always great to have you aboard on this podcast, and it is great that my good friends at Book It HQ are part of this podcast as well. Book It HQ is the app that is going to change the way that you look at sports betting. It is launching on November 1st, and it is going to be absolutely glorious. If you want live scoring updates, you're able to find it there. You're able to post up your picks. You're able to take a look at line moves. Think of it this way. Think about the absolute ordeal social media site for sports betting, only without all the just random things that you get with Twitter, all the trolls, all the people that are bots and everything like that. Your mom posting up pictures of meatloaf on Facebook. You don't need to deal with that. Just everything that you want from a sports betting social media site. That's exactly what Book It Sports is going to be providing. You're able to follow them on Twitter at Book It HQ. So glad to have them aboard. I've got the beta test on my phone right now. I absolutely love it. And you guys are absolutely going to love the chat that I'm going to have with one of our good buddies of the three-man weave, Matt Cox. We're going to be having him join me for two segments. Typically, I round up the news, notes, what have you, in the final segment of this podcast. But I mean, as has been the case on so many Sundays, just not a lot going on in college basketball on Sundays. I mean, that's very fair to say. In about 5 weeks, that's going to change once we get games going back into our lives. I believe it's all 37 days away from college basketball. Going to be starting up November 25th. My math might have done me wrong, but we are getting closer and closer. And as we get closer and closer to the season, always love to be able to answer your questions when it comes to college basketball, sports betting, what have you. If there is anything that you'd like addressed on this podcast, one of two ways to be able to fire that in. My Twitter timeline, at Jarrus41. Now, keep in mind, if you send these in by a direct message, well, the letter Zoom to me does not matter, but you're also able to send those in via an Apple Podcast review. For one, if you send in an Apple Podcast review, you rate this podcast 5 stars, you really do help out the exposure of this podcast. More people that are unaware of the podcast Hooping with Hoops, which if they are, shame on them, but there are still people out there, so don't be too mean to them. But if they are unaware, they see, oh, Greg Peterson has 5 stars on his podcast. He must be doing a great job of breaking down college basketball news and notes and handicapping games. And from there, they get alerted that this is a tremendous podcast. They download it, and then we get a new listener for life from there. So you're able to spread the word about this fine podcast, and I always do appreciate it. That makes it easier to do what I do on a daily basis a little bit more simple. But we did not get in any Twitter questions today, but I know that Matt has been keeping track of a little bit of everything when it comes to college basketball. Something that has emerged from this weekend is the Ivy League perhaps pulling the plug on the entire 2020-2021 college basketball season. It seemed like they were just going to be starting up in January of 2021, so we're going to be talking to him about that, all of the effects that it's going to have. We're also going to be talking to him about these non-conference schedules, getting the season started, and just what's sort of a role that local restrictions where a college basketball team is based might play on the college basketball season as well, with these teams trying to get started. How teams out there in the SEC part of the country might be a little bit ahead of the curve as compared to, say, a team in the state of California. We're going to be talking about all that and so much more with our good buddy Matt Cox of the Three-Man Weave for two segments here in the second and third segment of Hoopin' with Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, on the other side, powered by Book It Sports.
Greg is going to the bench and bringing in a sharp shooter from the Overtime Network Hotline.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Hooping with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops here, and now powered by Book It HQ. Book It HQ is the app that's changing the way that you look at sports betting. As we know, college basketball is coming your way November 25th, so they're going to be all up and running by then. The app is going to be launching November 1st, whether you have Android, iPhone, what have you, they're going to be all set to go there. Think of it as the sports betting site that you want for social media without all the things that you hate about social media, like the random pictures of just nothingness, your mom posting about like what she ate for lunch and everything like that. You get to cut all that out. You get to see sports, sports picks, line moves, so much more. So Bookin' HQ doing a great job. And our next guest does an absolutely terrific job with a three-man weave. And if you're looking for the three-man weave, you're able to follow them on Twitter at the number 3MW underscore CBB. And for this guest, his Twitter handle is at Maddie underscore Cox. That is as it is Matt Cox joining me on the podcast. He is out there in the Midwest doing an absolutely terrific job of looking at all things college basketball. Matt, I always enjoy our chats. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully your weekend has went very well.
Greg, it's great to join you, man. Always a pleasure. Yeah, no complaints on my end. I've been a lot quieter in the betting arena relative to you, so I hope those runs have yielded some nice returns for you. I know you're a big baseball and football better, so I hope that's going well.
Well, I can tell you right now, the Green Bay Packers in the over on Sunday did not yield a great return, but with that said, I did have a buddy from high school in town at the D, so we drank some beers there. That's always a good time, and what is always a good time is being able to take a look at some Ivy League basketball, but I don't know if we're going to be able to do so for the 2020-2021 season. Rumblings are that instead of starting up in January of 2021, the Ivy League might shut it all down together, and I think that this would be just tough for college basketball. Obviously, if you wind up having the Ivy League opt out of the season, you go from 350-71 teams to 349, so no shortage of action there, but with that said, we've seen some very intriguing things from the Ivy League in past years. It's always great to be able to look at so many of these rivalries, and I think it would be truly unfortunate if we don't have the Ivy League for the upcoming college basketball season.
Yeah, it is a travesty. The Ivy is one of my favorite conferences to cover. It's also great for previewing, selfishly, because usually they have one of the higher levels of continuity. So projecting the rosters is typically pretty easy, given there's so few transfers. I mean, the only beneficiaries for this, Greg, is, you know, potential bubble teams this year. There's now one more at-large spot, most likely on the table. You know, if they end up completely removing themselves from the equation, then I guess if you're a fan of a team maybe like in the upper echelon of the A-10, like a, you know, SLU or a St. Bonaventure or Dayton or Richmond, you know, maybe you're like, all right, good, one more spot for us to sneak in. But for the college basketball large, not a great sign. But it looks like Seth Townsend, Bryce Hagan had the right idea. So now they're going to get a year to play while many of their comrades might be stuck twiddling their thumbs, grasping for straws here with options.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And the Ivy League has just been behind all of college basketball in general, because as we know, with guys like Seth Towns, who you mentioned, they're having to transfer to other schools because you're only allowed, as I like to put it, 8 academic semesters to play college basketball. So you're not allowed to be a graduate transfer and play at a place like Harvard, Yale, what have you. And I do think that it's a little bit unfortunate. At the same time, we do know that the Ivy League wound up shutting down their conference tournament. They certainly had the right idea there. And it's just one of those things where you take a look at both sides of the argument, you can see a case for both sides. You do want to be cautious. You don't want to be given more privilege to these guys that play college basketball rather than just normal student athletes. But at the same time, it's like, all right, what the heck here, guys, as well. So I certainly do think that there is a good argument for however you view this issue.
Yeah, right. There's nothing, no one's going to lash out of against, you know, being overly cautious for the player's safety. And, you know, the Ivy folks, there's a few smart individuals that lurk throughout those institutions. Oh, yeah. So, you know, as a token Indiana grad, I'm knocking my institution's education, which I received, but I'm in no position to question the powers that be there. So Godspeed, whatever they decide, I would hope they would remedy their transfer rule going forward. You know, the NCAA has come out with their decision, obviously, to grant free transfers without sitting out a year. We'll see if the Ivy makes it change their policy, but given their staunch belief in what they've always, you know, employed, as you just mentioned earlier, I'm skeptical that they're going to cave with the NCAA pressure here.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest part of that is that, let's face it, people are still going to be going to Harvard even if they don't play college basketball for the upcoming season, because they're known for a little bit more than having Jeremy Lin be their alma mater, as we do have our good buddy Matt Cox of the three-man weave joining me right here on the podcast. And looking at more brass tacks issues, because obviously if we don't wind up having Ivy League basketball, that's going to cause a little bit of a shakeup to the season, but we knew that they weren't going to be playing non-conference games in general. And when you take a look at the non-conference portion of the schedule for so many of these teams, I do think that it's so interesting in that you've got these teams that are very feast or famine. We're noticing Villanova is going to be challenging themselves. It looks like they and Virginia are going to be playing a good matchup. If you ask me personally, two of the top three teams in the country are going to be on the floor in that game. Obviously, when it comes to the preseason, things might change before they wind up hooking up, but they're going to be doing battle. Baylor, they have certainly been able to challenge themselves. And then you take a look at Duke. They're going to be playing against it looks like Elon, along with Bellarmine, in their multi-team event that they're setting up, they have Howard in there as well, but they're not going to be playing against them. I think it's just so interesting to see the variance of approaches when it comes to some of these teams. Some of these teams, they're looking to play as many difficult opponents as possible. Meanwhile, Duke, they're just sort of like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to go through the motions, try to play as many games as possible. And then what happens from there, the chips will fall as they may.
Yeah, I mean, the team I'm looking at is Gonzaga. They have a murderer's row schedule lined up. Obviously, the Baylor date's been well publicized. They also, I think, are going to still play Texas, I believe. And so they're just basically lining up a huge non-con there. And that's Mark Few has always done that. So you can see the power of their rise to national prominence playing out here. The world is their oyster in terms of scheduling. So it'll be fun to see who I feel is the top team in America be challenged early on. So I'm pretty excited about that for the November and December condensed slate, but still a pretty fun non-conference slate ahead of us here.
And what I think is going to be so interesting as well is that we take a look at so many of these teams that are getting these shots in non-conference competition. It looks like Richmond is going to be playing against West Virginia. They're also going to be taking part in the battle for Atlantis. And if you asked me before the year 2020 where Atlantis was, I would have never told you Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but that is what's happening this year. And I do think that one of the beneficiaries of this might be some of these mid-major teams, because we know that Northern Iowa might be able to play some good games as well. And I am one of those people that I think that what has been given short shrift in recent years is some of these teams that have been trying to book these big time non-conference games out there in mid-majors. They haven't necessarily gotten a chance to do so. And now, because of the pandemic, in a weird way, these teams like Richmond, like Northern Iowa, they're getting a little bit more of a shot of it. And I think that that's going to be very beneficial for college basketball, because it drives me absolutely crazy when you see a team that is like 8-10 or what have you in the Big Ten and they wind up getting an at-large bid. Meanwhile, you see some of these teams that they excel at the mid-major level and they're not given that opportunity because nobody will play them in the non-conference portion.
Yeah, you mentioned Northern Iowa. They're in the Elevate Hoops NT, which is going to take place in Lincoln, Nebraska. And St. Louis SLU is also in that field. Western Kentucky is in that field. And the San Francisco Dons, a little bit on the outside looking in, but those are 3.5, call it, teams that are, like you just said, typically maybe more challenged to find the opportunities to get wins in the non-con, but they're going to set themselves up for success by getting in some of these early fields. So excited about that, and I hope they take advantage of those opportunities. I'm with you. No one likes to see Syracuse get in with 7-11 in the ACC and then go on their, a run and basically justify that they should have been in all along, when in reality, we'd all love to see, at least us diehard college hoops junkies would like to see some of the mid-majors get their bite at the apple.
I'm right there with you. It is one of these situations in which it's like, Indiana, you had enough chances in the Big Ten to prove that you were worthy of an NCAA tournament spot. Congratulations on going 7-11. You have fun in the three-letter tournament rather than the NCAA tournament, as we do with Matt Cox joining me on the podcast. And Matt, something I know that you've been paying attention to is how things are looking a little bit different state by state with these local restrictions and teams getting geared up for the college basketball season. So on the other side, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit more about this. I'm going to be talking to you a little bit more about just what we are noticing with regards to these non-conference slates that are being set up. There's a whole bevy of things that are going on in college basketball. I know that you've been doing a great job of following a little bit of everything. So we're going to be talking about that and so much more on the other side right here on Hoopa with Hoops, myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Hoopa with Hoops, myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, being rejoined by one of our good buddies from the Three Man Weave, Matt Cox. You're able to follow him on Twitter at Matty_Cox. If you're looking for the Three Man Weave, they're at the number 3MW_CBB. And Matt, when we were leaving off last, we were talking a little bit about trying to get geared up for the upcoming college basketball season. And once the college basketball season does wind up launching, our good buddies at Book It Sports are going to have their app up and running that is going to be launching November 1st. You're going to be able to track line moves. You're going to be able to track all the scores of the games that are in progress. You're going to be able to do so much when it comes to a social media site that is just dedicated to sports betting. You're able to follow them on Twitter at BookItHQ. Very very much looking forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to the start of the college basketball season as well. And as we know, things are very different when it comes to local guidelines as to how much practice a team is able to get in, what specifically those practices are able to entail as well. I think that it's very fascinating because a team out there in the state of New York, they don't have the same freedoms that a team out there in, say, the state of Florida or Georgia does. So I do think that that could lead to a little bit of a divide come the beginning of the season. We know that Dan Mullen was trying to pack the swamp a couple weeks ago. Obviously, that did not wind up happening as the game in general for Florida and football did not wind up happening. But with that said, I do think that it might have a little bit of an impact on the season as to just where your team is based in general, because the teams in California, they're not getting in the same work as the teams in, say, Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, I was doing my Big West preview behind the scenes the last week and a half and, you know, reading about like Long Beach State and UC Irvine having to set up very strict, limited full team practices. In many cases, they're practicing outside for much of the early offseason workout window. But yeah, I'm curious to see how those teams play in the first, you know, 2, 3, 4 games compared to, as you mentioned, teams from Florida or teams of Alabama, Georgia, who have had, you know, more lax restrictions, have had opportunities to play with each other for much of the offseason. We've seen how important teams that are able to go on those foreign tours in years past. Obviously, COVID this year has removed that from the equation, but, you know, just the ability to get a few extra exhibition games, more time working cohesively, working on your defensive rotations, your offensive sets, all that stuff is going to be a major barrier for a lot of these teams that are, as you mentioned, in disadvantageous locations right now with the COVID restrictions, how quickly it takes them to get up to speed. I almost feel like we should put a chart together of like a 1 to 10 ranking of state strictness, and then we can chart like how well those teams perform the first 5 games of the year. I bet we see some correlation there. And we'll see how the odds makers react to that as well. That'll be a fascinating dynamic early on. It could be all over the place. I think the variance will be pretty volatile to start the year, no question.
Matt, I am right there with you because I do think that where you're located in regards to the portion of the country and how much you're able to practice and the sort of restrictions that are on there with practice is very interesting as well, because we noticed at Purdue, they were supposed to be starting their practices right around this week, but instead they were able to start up last week. As we know, COVID-19 was a little bit more polite to them than others, which is always something that you love to see because I want to see these teams at full strength. I want to see them be able to get in full practices. I don't want to see any restrictions whatsoever. And so for so many people that they have the debates over COVID-19, well, flat out, I don't want to see any person get any sort of a virus. I don't want to see any person get any sort of sickness. I think that that's the best approach that you can take right now. But it certainly is something that is playing into account when it comes to this college basketball season, which is very unfortunate. But I also do think that the big thing that needs to be looked at is just experience in general, because as we know, there are some teams that they brought in a lot of transfers. There are a bunch of teams like your Wisconsin's, Villanova's, Virginia's that they're pretty much bringing the whole band back from the 2019-20 season. I do view these teams like the Virginia's, Villanova's, and these mid-majors that they've got a bunch of 3-4-year guys as having a little bit of an advantage for the upcoming season, because one thing that you can never simulate, one thing that you can never put onto a statute is just the chemistry that a team has with one another that comes from just having time with each other. I think that that's going to be more important than ever given the logistics of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned a few of those teams, but I'm looking at ArtTorrick.com. He has his 2021 projected returning minutes. In the top 20, number 5 is Richmond. Number 6 is St. Louis. Number 7 is Loyola, Chicago, who some people think, me included, they actually can challenge Northern Iowa for the title there, the Missouri Valley Conference title, and they're going to be in the at-large picture. Even Winthrop, they could be a fringe at-large contender with how well they played last year. So, you know, those are 4 or 5 teams right there that, A, as you mentioned, you know, should get some opportunities in the non-con to prove themselves before they, you know, get into their conference schedules. But then, B, could benefit from catching some teams that are integrating new pieces that haven't had that same continuity, haven't had time to work in some of their sets. They could really come out of the gates firing and set themselves up for an at-large berth Selection Sunday rolls around.
I am in wholehearted agreement with you there. Richmond is a team that not only do I think that they have a chance to be able to make the top 25, but I think that they can make the second week of the NCAA tournament, given that it's going to be 68 teams. I don't think that the ACC's proposal of having every single team in the NCAA tournament is going to gain any traction whatsoever. I think that we heard that very loud and clearly about a month ago, as we do have Matt Cox of the 3-Man Weave joining me on the podcast. And when it comes to this upcoming season, is there anything else in general that you're looking at? Because we know that it's been just absolutely strange, to say the least. It has been a very trying time for all of us not having an NCAA tournament, because I know that a lot of what happens when it comes to the offseason is seeding these teams when it comes to the upcoming season based on how they did with the NCAA tournament. I think that that could cause some volatility when it comes to how teams are projecting going into the season versus how they wind up performing at the beginning of the year, because I do think that we're going to need to make more stark changes than ever before, because I do think that the previous year's NCAA tournament really sets the landscape as to how a team is going to perform for the upcoming year. And we just don't have any of that with all of the postseason tournaments from the 2019-20 season being canceled.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, what I'm looking at most is just the fact that we actually have games starting to come together, right? You know, like the first week of the season. So, you know, November 25th, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, college basketball will take the national spotlight. We have the Bad Boy Mowers crossover classic, which is basically replacing the Battle for Atlantis. You have West Virginia, Texas A&M, Ohio State versus Memphis, Creighton versus Utah, and then the nightcap in that is Dayton versus Wichita State, with the looming Greg Marshall headlines continuing to circle. So plenty of fodder that will be surrounding the sport right from the get-go, which is awesome. And then that doesn't even count Wood Legacy, where you have Kansas playing Boise State, UCLA is in that, they're playing Seton Hall. I mean, there's a lot of great matchups right out of the gate, and I think that's so huge for college basketball that desperately needs some momentum. You know, just fans of the sport as we are, we want to see it grow, and we like to see it hog the national spotlight, and it definitely should be the biggest game in town that first week of Thanksgiving. So excited about that, about everything.
And I do actually think that the college basketball, and I actually do think that college basketball in general has a golden opportunity this year, because as we know, typically when the college basketball season launches, they're competing with the NHL, they're competing with the NBA. They're still going to be competing with football, no question, but we certainly have seen some cancellations when it comes to these college football games. I mean, look no further than the SEC this past weekend with the NFL. Things seem to be a cluster, you know what, if I'm talking bluntly and honestly there. I do think that when it comes to college basketball, the fact that they are going to be launching at the time that they are with as little competition as they are might cause for a little bit more of the casual fan to get into it. I think that that's big just from a college basketball standpoint, from a betting standpoint, what have you. I actually think that this could be very beneficial for the college basketball season in that they just have less competition than past years for viewership.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen some of these outbreaks in the NFL too, right? Once you get past weeks 2 and 3, I'm not sure if like the players are getting lazier in terms of being diligent and following the protocols and all that stuff, but you see some natural attrition of diligence, you know, basically keeping yourself safe. And it's just, you know, the virus, it's not going to go anywhere. So it's going to be around. Coming at bringing back to college basketball, I'm glad that so many of these games are going to be in the first week, right? Like it's very heavily front loaded, where a bunch of these teams will at least get 1, 2, 3 games in, hopefully uninterrupted by, you know, December 5th, where I would say that the risk of transmission outbreak is probably going to rise as you get into like late December, early January. So the more you can get in from a non-conference perspective, the sooner, where you have so many teams playing at the same time, different locations, that should at least guarantee a good base of non-con games that happen without, you know, knock on wood, with minimal interruption. You know, hopefully we can, you know, lift off from there. And we're going to have some cancellations, we're going to have some disruption to the schedule, but as long as we can get a solid base of, like I said, 2 or 3 non-con games for a good chunk of the season, for a good chunk of the country in the first week of the season, I think that'll be a good place, Matt, to start from.
Well, Matt, you said knock on wood. Well, my microphone actually sits on wood,
perfect.
So I'm knocking on it right now. So there we go with that. And Matt, I know that you and all the other gentlemen over there at the Three Man Weave, our good buddy Jim Root, our good buddy Kai McKeon, you three are all doing tremendous work when it comes to getting set for the college basketball season. So would like to close it up with this. Let the good people at home know where they're able to follow you on social media. Just all the great work that you're doing in general. And just where you guys sit when it comes to conference previews and team previews, because I know that you guys have dove deep into those. And I know that you guys are doing a tremendous job of getting college basketball fans like myself prepared for the upcoming season.
Yeah, as I look at our official release track, behind the scenes, we finished about 75% of the total previews, although I'm a little bit envious of my colleague Kai, who gets to avoid writing the Ivy, as that was slated in his name. He gets that off his plate, son of a gun. Anyway, you can find our stuff at 3MW_CBB3-man-1. thefreshweeb.com is where you can find those previews. Greg, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. Stay safe out there. Right?
And Matt, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, along with all the gentlemen of the three-man weave. So big thanks to Matt Cox for joining me right here on Hoopin' with Hoops. And since we quite honestly just had a complete and utter lack of news and notes from college basketball on Sunday, just went with a two-part conversation with our good buddy Matt Cox of the three-man weave. Always appreciate him joining this podcast. And for those of you guys that like this podcast, keep in mind that I'm continuing to preview all 32 different conferences out there in college basketball. With that, you're going to get a deep dive of all 357 D1 teams, so be on the lookout for that. If you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, you are able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That'd be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you have a very vague question for this fine podcast, you're able to fire that in one of two ways. My Twitter timeline at JarenScore1, or you're able to send those in via an Apple Podcast. Re-rate this podcast 5 stars because that helps out the exposure of this, and I always appreciate it very much so. And then from there, you're able to send in your segment ideas, questions, comments, concerns, what have you, into there. So that is a good way to be able to interact with the show. I do hope that you're all safe, healthy, and doing well. And once again, I'll be talking to you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.